putting together an audio show which entertains and educates the globe is a piece of cake. When you've got the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition teens on the case for Siren 107.3 FM and sirenonline.co.uk.
Indeed, as the congratulations resound around the City of Lincoln for Thomas Hawes' wonderful bulletin there, you can actually have the news that actually he'll be back again probably at around about 5:45 this evening. Well, actually not around, precisely 5:45. Isn't that exciting, Camo?
More than exciting. I'm limp with breathless anticipation.
I think he'll use that on his CV. Thomas Hawes, he makes people limp with breathless anticipation. It's wonderful. Okay, right, let's do the formal introductions. Lois Snart, welcome back to the production. How are you, Lois?
I'm all right, thank you.
Just all right?
Yeah, I'm just all right, to be fair.
Busy doing all sorts of things.
She had a little incident today.
Oh, no.
Yeah, a bit ill this morning.
She fainted.
Oh, no. Yeah. Lois, yeah. Please. You know, you can't be, you know, have the name of Superman's girlfriend and sort of just be passing out all over.
It was terrible, but I'm feeling better now, so it's all good.
Well, I should hope so too. Exactly. Keeping the Snart family end up in more ways than one. Tessa, welcome back, of course.
Hello.
To the routine. Great, exciting times, because this is the show where we will be launching the Holiday Bake Off.
We've been waiting for this for a long time.
Quite some time, exactly. 2 years to be precise, but you know, before you actually join the university.
Yeah.
And there we are. Life continues. Martina, welcome to your first ever Midweek Drive.
Hi there.
Excellent. You know, Martina, of course, originally from Szczecin, which is in northwestern Poland, exactly. And we'll have some Szczecin facts coming through the whole thing, including how do you spell it? It's just wonderful. It's great. Camo, would you like to spell Szczecin for us?
Yeah. No, because it would come out sounding like something really obscene.
It's
just
simply
be a dirty word.
It's Szczecin.
That's correct.
Hence the reason.
M-O-U-S-E, Mickey Mouse.
Oh, no. I'm just, the Polish chap goes to the opticians. The optician says, can you read the bottom line? He said, read it. I know him. It's all right. I can use that one. Natasha, welcome to the production.
I'm very happy to be here. It's going to be a good show, I think.
Well, we start off with those intentions and usually they're fulfilled. So that's the important thing from that point of view. And of course, that leaves Hannah Brown.
Hello.
Good day, Hannah.
Yeah, busy day.
Sort of day when you actually want to say, love's going to always win, hashtag Nashville.
Oh, don't you want to say that every day?
I would have thought so. Which is your cue, Camo, to actually share with us what your selection is for this evening.
I think you're really going to dig this. Paulina Jane is a student at Belmont University here in Nashville. Belmont, for those of you that don't know it, it sits right at the end of Music Row. And a lot of people in the music business come out of there. They do a really great course on music business, as well as other courses you would expect, law and everything else. So they have some really talented people coming out of there that take songwriting and record production and things like that. Paulina Jane is one of those students, and she's originally from Detroit, Michigan, Motor City. She moved down here to Nashville to go to college at Belmont. Just by comparison, how smart, and Alex, you would know the kids you've got, you know, in there with you. At their age,
Kids. I don't teach goats, you know, Camo. You know, they are human beings.
Yeah, whatever.
Small adults.
At that age, I was like eating mud, you know. But these kids are just so smart, and I'm hoping. But Paulina is one of them. And she just blew us away and really impressed us with what she's doing, because she started her very own record label. And she's still a junior at college. So it's pretty exciting. She's done this record. She's hooked up with some really talented people here in town. And she's put out this record. She's created a really cool video for it. So if you go to her website, you'll be able to find the video. This is Paulina Jane. She was our Nashville Access Super Pick of the Week last week. And I hope you like it. This is Love's Gonna Always Win on Siren 107.3.
Die and make you keen.
Not too sure about the free hugs from police officers in the video, but apart from that, Natasha, what did you make of Love's Gonna Always Win?
I absolutely adored that. I think, Camo, that was just amazing. I'm going to go straight home and download it. Just the video was brilliant. Everything was just spot on about it.
Natasha gives it a full double thumbs up, plus from that point of view. Hannah, you're already campaigning for free hugs.
It's such a positive song. It makes you feel so positive, you know. Like, you're watching that and listening to it. I want to go give people free hugs. You
there
know.
We are.
Spread the love.
And Tessa.
Yes. I thought it was a brilliant sound. Natasha and me, we were just sort of saying she has like a few in her voice, there's quite a lot of different tones in it, and we've sort of said she sounds like Scarlett in Nashville a little bit, mixed with sort of Juliet Barnes.
Lois.
Hello. I think she's got a beautiful voice. It was very listenable, and again, I would like to download it as well.
Well, don't just like go and download it. But ultimately, Camo, crucial thing is, making her debut on the programme today, Lois had this experience when she was also first year. She still is a first year, of course. But Martina, what did you make of Paulina Jane?
It's a very beautiful song. I loved it. Very nice music video as well.
For a better day, a little love to find the way. A round of applause then for Paulina Jane. And standing.
Now, I'll tell you something. If you want to find out more about her, go to the Nashville Access YouTube channel. We did an interview with her a couple weeks ago, and you can watch the full interview. And she also performed a couple of songs live. And I think just hearing her voice, even acoustically, is going to blow you away. She's really talented.
So, Tessa, given that we've got Sound and Country Vision 5th edition coming up shortly,
yes,
what do you think? Should we set Camo on the case of getting Paulina Jane to join us?
Definitely. I think she should write as a Christmas special.
There's the challenge, Camo.
All right.
No, it'd be lovely to have her on.
There we are. Marvellous. Oh, you need the midweek drive. We can work all
the
process. Splendid stuff from that point of view, Camo. And clearly, what better way to actually celebrate the American presidential elections than actually have a number like that, which suddenly makes it all.
Okay, let's move past the elections, and we'll talk about Thanksgiving, because it's Thanksgiving tomorrow.
It is.
So people are heading out of town. It's like the busiest travel day of the year. And then Friday is Black Friday. Now, we're going to be in Bald Knob, Arkansas, which is a really small town. So I think to celebrate Black Friday, the Piggly Wiggly opens like 10 minutes early, and that's about it. So Thanksgiving weekend, everybody's going to be doing the turkey thing and watching football.
I mean, the thing about, obviously, Thanksgiving, in which I'm not sure whether we should celebrate the fact that you Americans like to celebrate the fact that you sort of decided to do something else as opposed to staying as part of the colonies. I still think it was a big mistake, and you know, one day we'll actually come back to the whole thing. But from the in-betweeners, James Buckley is going to be talking tomorrow about his top tips to ensure you're not left disappointed this Black Friday. Some of those statistics. Last year, Black Friday topped £3 billion.
Wow.
£3 billion. And new research has been commissioned has revealed 52% of 18 to 25-year-olds are now influenced more by YouTubers and bloggers than anyone else. Is this the case, Tessa? Are you influenced by YouTubers and bloggers?
I do think it is the case, especially now everything is moving sort of online. Mm-hmm. And sort of anybody can have a blog, really. So even though obviously journalists do and those in the industry, just anybody can, so I think definitely.
Lois, as an audio production student, I mean, is this the case? I mean, you know, when you're phoning up your father, you go say, look, Dad, please, it's all in my blog. I've got nothing more to say.
Definitely, I would say so. I follow a lot of YouTubers and bloggers, and I'd say that I listen to them a lot and follow them.
Okay. Martina, YouTubing, blogging?
YouTubing more, just started blogging. But
it's the end of the civilization as we know it. Natasha?
Yeah, no, I love particularly music vloggers, as they call them, and a couple of my favourite artists are actually on, just make YouTube videos, all their music's just available on YouTube, so.
And Hannah in Harwich, have they heard of the YouTube thing?
It's come across our radar, yes.
Good to hear. What about yourself, Camo? I mean, are you YouTubing and vlogging? Because obviously Nashville Access is very much to the fore when it comes to vlogs and so on.
Yeah, we do our Facebook Lives a bunch of times a week, and then we moved that over to our YouTube channel, and we're developing our YouTube channel. But I'll tell you one thing, and I don't know if it's taken off there yet, but we noticed it here during the elections. Unbelievably, WikiLeaks has become more of a trusted news source than any of the major news networks here in the U.S. because people see the main networks like NBC, CBS, ABC, MSNBC, CNN. They have been essentially just the propaganda wing of the Democratic Party here. So people have really abandoned news networks. They don't feel they're getting the truth, so they're going online to get it.
Which, of course, can lead to echo chamber theory and simply regurgitating people's prejudices. It's just as well that actually Paulina has managed to actually say that love will find a way. Otherwise, who knows what could actually happen in the 21st century. Kamo, we are about to launch the official 2016 Midweek Drive Bake Off Challenge. Have you any advice for the quintet of quality that are in the studio? Because obviously they and others, including Ben Lewis from the Breakfast Edition, will be invited to actually submit to their own particular signature recipes. Martina, of course, whose sister bakes regularly for her, could well be in an interesting pole position here, apple pie or not, as the case may be. What thoughts would you provide for them?
I've been told to bake off a few times.
I thought you would say that, Kamo, and I wish you had.
But see, my wife does killer Toll House cookies. Those are they're like chocolate chip cookies, but they're bigger chips, and they're just, we call them Toll House cookies here. She does a great job with those. So go with the Toll House cookies.
Toll House cookies. Could be side bet for the whole thing. Toll House cookies. Okay. Natasha, last two questions for Kamo, please.
Have you had an interesting telephonic link with us this evening?
I certainly have.
Brilliant. And will you be joining us again next week?
I'll be back next week.
Exactly. And just in case you thought we'd forgotten her contractual obligation.
Hannah Brown, historic Harwick heroine and hyperbolic midweek drivette.
Are you sure it's not Harwich? Harwich heroine?
What did I say?
You said Harwick. The hyperbolic midweek drivette was right. Also, I love the deep breath you took before Hannah. Hannah Brown. Like you're taking a big bite out of Hannah Brown. We're keeping all this in.
Of the former hospital porter from Sheffield, otherwise known as Phil Oakey, and Life on Your Own with, of course, the rest of the Human League. Linda Hewitt, food demonstrator extraordinaire, known for your friendly, approachable style of presenting, your sense of humour, and your work at country shows, events, WI groups, and cookery schools. Welcome back, Linda, to the Midweek Drive.
Thank you, Alex. Don't you make me sound like a fun person?
Well, you are. This is important. You know, at momentary sort of concerns as to, were we going to get your telephone number contacted? But we did, and all's well with the world. And we have five wonderful souls in the studio, just in case the listener has temporarily forgotten who's actually co-presenting in Midweek Drivette duties today. We have Tessa Snart and Lois Snart, that would be the Snart sisters, from Glinton, a little place just outside Peterborough. And we have Hannah Brown from Harwich, as we've just heard, a wonderful sort of soul, who indeed, I recall, Hannah, when I first showed you Linda's website, you said, what gorgeous bread.
I think it was actually the croissants that I was talking about.
Yes.
And then I think you brought food with you next time when you came in the studio, which was very kind of you, and I still remember how tasty it was. So
these are the kind of memories, Linda, that actually only ace Brit bakers and cookers like yourself.
It's a bit naughty, though, Alex, because I know that food always wins people over.
Well, it does, as long as it doesn't sort of create any kind of illness and such like. You know, so,
well, bosh, heaven forbid,
well,
yes.
It's true. You know, so, Natasha Armstrong, who is general all-round seasoned pro in many ways, a level 3 journalism student, takes no nonsense from anybody any way, shape or form, and has already carved out sort of strategies, I think, for the bake-off scenario.
Yes, I'm contemplating whether to go Christmassy or whether to go classical. I'm just debating that one in my head.
Mm. You can rotate the two together, or combine them together, I think. Anyway, hello, girls.
And Martina Wiejka, originally from Szczecin in Poland, but now in that delightful part of the world called Bury St. Edmunds, and many people would say, is he still alive? No, sorry. It's an old lie. Anyway, so...
hello,
all. Where would you... Tessa, have you got any questions? Because you're asking, what are the kind of rubrics for this? And frankly, yes, it's up to Linda. She can set whatever standard she wants. Because basically, she's launching the piece. Yes. And in a few weeks' time, on December the 14th, she'll be judging as well.
Okay, so we'd like to know sort of what are the rules? Are there any food categories? How's it going to work?
Well, gosh, I think it should be a free-for-all. But I don't know whether Alex will set any boundaries on that. But I think you should follow your heart, because I think we've got a good mix from the introductions of people, and it'd be lovely to get some kind of traditional Polish bread. Somebody's already mentioned traditional, or rather classic, with Christmas. I mean, that just smacks of orange peel and dried fruits and spices to me. So I think anything within the baking world.
Camo from Nashville put in a bid for tall cookies.
Yes.
Tall chocolate chip cookies.
Anyway.
Very strange. they're having Thanksgiving. He probably was in a different world.
We'll ask him again.
Exactly. Natasha, questions for you from your good self.
Yes.
Possibly relating to cooking or not necessarily.
Sorry, I just bumped heads with Hannah, which was... so I'm disorientated now.
Carry on.
I just wondering, are you going to have room to eat all of these cakes? Because there's going to be
I think we'll try. There would be sort of various other things, because there's that initial tasting thing, and then we sort of open it up from there.
We're all going to have to pace ourselves.
Yes, it is all about pace.
But I've been a judge on the World Bread Awards and, dare I say, the British Pie Awards, and I've been invited to judge Scottish Pie Awards. So it is all about pace, because I don't want to be known as the girl who ate all the pies. It is about looking, appearance, smell, taste, texture, and you don't need to eat it all to judge on that. So we will have a critical eye, I think, as well as tasting.
I might indeed use the line we did with William Sitwell, where we actually sort of take photographs of the pies beforehand, and then he can comment on the photographs. I know, William, it's not quite the same, but you know, if you will stay in Northampton or London, it's just part of the pause. Anyway, congratulations.
Absolutely.
Congratulations to William Sitwell, Editor of the Year. Editor of the Year, and lots of other awards for Waitrose Food. He's done it again. They said 2 years ago he couldn't actually do it. I said, when you're Editor of the Year, we'll have another bake-off competition, and there we are. Exactly. It's worked through it. So share with us, Linda, what have you been getting up to since last you brought that memorable series of treats into the studio, which Tessa is still eulogising about?
I've had a terrifically busy time. It's been probably my busiest year to date. So I think I had been down to London for the World Bread Awards when I spoke to you. But then since then, I've been over to the Isle of Man for the Isle of Man Food and Drink Festival. There's been the Melton Mowbray Food Festival. Living Heritage have some food festivals out at Sandringham and Nottingham. And I've been inundated with all my Christmas demonstrations and talks that I give to the WI. And I adore those. Hard work, because the ladies demand to be entertained. So it's halfway between a stand-up comedy act and a food demonstration. But we have the best fun, and it's been all about getting ahead for Christmas. So I've been doing a lot, really.
Do people get too stressed at this time of the year in terms of wanting the actually perfect bread, the perfect sort of scenario, etc.? Is that a case of you just sometimes dial back a bit?
I think they are the serious breadheads that are constantly stressed about the quality of their sourdough. However, I don't think anybody, none of my friends certainly, don't get stressed about baking. I think baking is one of those lovely things to have time in the kitchen, a fug of butter and sugar and not to worry. But my Christmas, Crafty Christmas talk is about the overall thing, not getting too bogged down with all the commercialism and enjoying your family and friends. There's a big buzzword and a big trend now for Higa. Have you heard of that? So it's
no, it's a short no. answer.
It's a Scandinavian term, and it's all about something very delicious and a coffee and sitting with friends, or they call it a fika time or higa, or if you're in Denmark rather than the rest of Scandinavia, it's a hygge. But I lived in Norway, so we say higa. But it's that's about cozy and enjoying people, friends, and things around you. So, yep, this is all about baking or cooking something special to share with family and friends. Not at all to get stressed.
It's this sort of internationalisation. And there was I sort of simply going to say that Stettin is the capital city of the West Pomeranian Voivodeship in Poland, located near the Baltic Sea, a major seaport and Poland's seventh largest city.
Marvellous. Are we going to get a recipe from there, do you think?
What do you think? Martina, just a task there. Because I mean, we were sharing that we exposed the line that Martina's sister, younger than her, still provides her with apple pies.
I think you're going to have to talk to my sister about this. Bacon is just another world to me.
Well, it is, but you should engage with the process.
I think I should try.
Exactly. You could be coached through the whole routine. I mean, and that's a serious point, actually. What about somebody like Martina? And let's open it up to the listeners as well, if anybody fancies doing an additional line of things.
Okay.
Ben Lewis, for instance, or I don't know what Ben's culinary skills are like. I mean,
you'll have to ask him tomorrow.
Exactly. What advice would you give for somebody who's thinking, well, I sort of quite think about it, but I don't know. I just don't know what to do. How should the novice baker approach this? Should they worry too much about gluten-free material or just go for the whole thing?
Gluten-free is only serious if you have an allergy, a serious allergy to gluten, i.e. you're celiac, and then it's very serious and you must keep well away from any kind of gluten. Otherwise, my top tip is to keep it as simple as possible. Try not to be too ambitious. What you want is something that is edible the first six times that you bake. Nothing adventurous like a gingerbread Moulin Rouge or the Eiffel Tower with sugar shards. Just keep it really simple. I would say pick out two or three recipes that you really enjoy. If you can perfect, say, scones, and then is it scones or scones, and perfect a Victoria sponge, and then you can start playing around with that. You can add your own flavourings, you can layer it up, you can have different dressings on it. Same with scones. If you can get a very good basic scone, you can make it sweet or savoury, add lots of things. So I would say, don't try and be too ambitious. Go for perfection, but keep the recipe simple.
Does this resonate with yourself, Lois? Are you sort of going to take this seriously and thinking, look, I've got four journalism students here. I must stand up for the audio production team and say, this is what we're going to do.
Definitely. I personally love to bake, so I'm taking all this information on board.
Lois, a decent outside bet there, and she's revealed the whole notion there. And Tessa, from your own perspective, what's that?
You see, I like baking from the creative side of things. So, Lois is good at baking the sponge, and I like to design it. So, like, if there's anything going on top, or I like that.
What are the
side
rules, Linda, with respect to a joint project? You know, the Snart Sisters putting in a joint entry.
Can we do that?
Well, it would just be joint prize winnings, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Prizes? There's going to be prizes.
prizes?
Accolade. It's all for the kudos. They put themselves in as a baking company. That sounds lovely. I mean, if you are very good at baking, you know you're going to produce a really good sponge cake, then you could start making it Christmassy with mulled fruit and do, say, an upside-down cake, because that just looks stunning. And then you could create your own kind of cream or mascarpone cream to go with it and make it very topical, seasonal, or design something. A new flavour all of your own.
Hannah, are you kind of motivated now? You're thinking, yeah, the button has been pressed. It's like our version of Article 50, but with more fun, you know? Officially, Linda is pressing that button and saying, baking begin. Are you working on that strategy?
I've been sitting here running through my head the basic recipes I know that I can do well and can do, because I'm taking the simple to heart due to the fact that Bake Off is going to be in the middle of deadlines. So I'm going, which is simple yet good and I can bring with me, because I love to bake and I love spending hours baking and decorating, but I feel like what I provide for this will not be
that extravagance.
Just the taking part is often enough, just to actually have that moment.
Absolutely. But, you know, if you make a sponge, say, the night before, the day before, and as soon as it's cool, wrap it. And if you did, a sponge in a baking tray, then you can use all sorts of cookie cutters and stack it between layers of your own making. And a hot tip for if you have a perfect sponge is now in all the supermarkets, we've got these wonderful flavoured coffee syrups for coffee. But they're so useful for making sappy sponges. So rather than having like a lemon drizzle, you could have all sorts of herbs and all sorts of spices and maybe soaked fruit, dried fruit, and then use some of these coffee syrups for drizzling, and it gives you an amazing sponge. And again, you can tailor make it, put your favourite flavours together.
As well as just a wonderful all-round person, good sage advice as well. But we have to ask, allowing for the fact that with Ian Lennox on a Thursday morning, we regularly talk about Ollie and Oboe. What's not to love about sitting in with Tiki? There's Tiki. Tiki and the open fire there, sitting in with Tiki and CT and Gin, as put on your own website, I believe. Or am I on a different website, actually, here, Linda? I think I'm probably on a different website.
I don't know. It does sound like you're speaking a different language.
I do. You know nothing about Tiki. Ignore that completely.
I know a Tiki, but I'm just thinking, how do you know the Tiki I know?
is this a Tiki who happens to be a dog?
Yes, it is.
All right, there we are. So we are on the right. That's okay.
No, I don't think you are, because I have nothing to do with... I have nothing about Tiki on my website. This is most peculiar.
Oh, well, there we are. Well, it's extraordinary.
But I do like to sit with a gin and tonic.
Well, I knew we were halfway there. Okay, you can, of course, go to your own website, Linda, which is what?
LindaHewittFood.com.
Exactly, LindaHewittFood.com, which leads us to Tessa putting those last two questions to you at this very moment in time. Go, Tessa.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
Yes, I have. It's been most cheery. I only wish I was there in the studio with you all.
But you will be, Linda, in a matter of weeks from now.
Very soon, very soon. Thank you all.
Which has kind of already answered the second question, really.
It has,
really.
I was going to say.
She will return.
Ask.
I know.
She will return.
Some questions you just don't need to ask because the listener can make their own mind up.
Ooh, child, things are going to get easier. Child, things will get brighter. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Someday, yeah, we'll put it together and we'll get it undone. Someday, when you hit it much lighter. To be brighter. Someday, yeah, we'll put it together and we'll get it undone. Someday, someday, yeah, we'll walk in the rays of a beautiful sun. Someday, brighter. Child, things are gonna get easier.
Hey, I'm on it.
Of motorists say that they've made a call whilst driving in a recent RIC study. It's a third far too many. And to address this and also begin to use a hard-hitting campaign to make sure that people don't drive and use their mobile phones, we're delighted to be able to welcome two fine folk. First of all, Nicola Downey from Huddersfield Solicitors. Good morning, Nicola.
Good morning.
And secondly, accident investigator extraordinaire Tony Carter. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
Nicola, if we can come to you first, because this is something that Huddersfield Solicitors have really got involved with, and the switch-off campaign is something which you might think, why has it taken so long to actually get this sorted out?
Absolutely. So as part of Road Safety Awareness Week, we are supporting the campaign Switch Off, which basically asks everybody to switch off their phones when they're in the car and completely stop themselves from being distracted from any use of the phone, whether it be taking a call, text, because we're very aware, unfortunately, through a number of the cases we deal with at the firm, of clients that have been victims of people causing accidents through distracted driving, such as the use of mobile phones.
And it is very much a case of getting into that mindset, because, you know, oft times we see on Hollywood movies and so on, people using phones, doing all sorts of things. That's fiction. That's not reality. In reality, our brains can't really cope with doing those kind of multitasking things of obviously dealing with a telephone conversation whilst driving at the same time.
Absolutely. The problem once you start using a handheld mobile is that 50% of the control of your vehicle is gone, because you're holding the mobile phone, you're trying to steer, trying to change gear, trying to concentrate on the actual task in hand of where you're going, which of course leads into people asking why do people flout the law, because they know that in most cases they can get away with it without the fear of being caught.
Nicola, is this something that maybe mobile phone companies, I mean, there are lots of them, obviously, and we're constantly being bombarded by the wonderful latest deals that they're offering. Should they be actually doing more in their campaigns to tackle this issue?
Yes, we think so, absolutely. As you say, there's lots of advertising that goes through the mobile phone companies, and it's a simple thing for them to try and advertise on top of the handsets and other devices that they sell. I think everybody has a responsibility to try and promote this message, but given their influence, then certainly mobile phone companies can do that, as well as ourselves and everybody getting involved in the campaign.
There's another key aspect that you're raising within this whole field, of course, and that's the medical ID awareness campaign. Would you like to share some of the details of that as well?
Yes. So whilst the primary message is to switch off, we understand that in this day and age particularly, people are going to have their mobile phones on them as a requirement of day-to-day life. So to sort of turn the negative aspects of the mobile phone whilst driving on its head, we want to encourage people to use the medical ID app, fill in the information, including emergency contact details, medical conditions, so that in situations whereby there may be an accident, emergency services simply have to turn the mobile phone on and they are able to access all that information at the switch of a button, and hopefully, potentially, could save people's lives.
It's important to note that, you know, clearly there are sort of times where, even in the event of breakdowns, that having a mobile phone to one side, it's almost expected even for motoring organisations. But the key point of this campaign is don't use it while you're driving.
Absolutely. The phrase I always use is no call, no text is so urgent as to justify being involved in a crash. Turn it off, deal with it when you get to your destination or to a place where you can deal with a call or text safely, but not while you're behind the wheel and moving along.
Or failing that, at least get somebody who can answer the phone for you, actually, sort of as a passenger. At least that's sort of another aspect. Although, would you say even that's sort of counterproductive? If you've got passengers, should you still really sort of say no? You could just ignore the phone completely?
If you're on your own, ignore it. Hmm. If you've got a passenger, yeah, fine. If they're happy to answer the phone. But at the end of the day, it's another distraction, which, you know, we have enough distractions as it is within the vehicle these days. Mm. Try and avoid using it at all. Get your destination, then deal with it.
Do you think this is going to be improved with driverless cars, or will it only get worse?
Well, that's a loaded question.
I had to put it there because I know every so often we're sort of heading towards that whole area, and I think there was the first legal campaign in the States recently against an accident in a driverless car.
No, it's a fair comment. I think we've got enough problems with what we've got at the moment, let alone driverless cars.
Precisely. Nicola, where can people go to for further information about, obviously, both the Road Traffic Awareness and Road Safety Week, but also the wonderful medical ID package?
Yes, so we're promoting the campaign on our Facebook page if you search for Hudgell Solicitors, and also on our website, hudgellsolicitors.co.uk. And for general and further information on road safety, you can go to the Road Safety GB website, which is roadsafetygb.org.uk.
I'm sure it'll be echoed through drive time and breakfast time shows across the land. Nicola Downey from Hudgell Solicitors and Tony Carter, accident investigator. I think I'll still stick with that, accident investigator extraordinaire. It sort of is, there's a whole series we could work on for that one. Many thanks indeed.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Quite right too. Coming up in the second hour of the programme, lots of exciting things there, but remember, do not use a mobile phone whilst you're driving. It's insane!